It's good to be able to come together this evening. As has already been mentioned, we appreciate the presence of everyone, and we're thankful for our visitors as well, and we're grateful that we can be here once again to worship the Lord. Of course, around this time of the year, we usually make the point that we come together each first day of the week to worship the Lord. A lot of folks in the denominational world may come together because it's Easter Sunday, but they may not do that again until the following year. And we usually make the point that we worship each first day of the week. And that's important for us to make sure that we do things biblically, that we do things accurately, and we don't just simply do something based upon tradition or something that might be going on in the denominational world. And we make sure that things are according to the Scripture. Does it really make a difference what day Jesus came out of the tomb? Of course, many people today are concerned about the resurrection of Jesus, and this is not so much an Easter sermon as it is a lesson regarding the first day of the week and the importance of that for us as opposed to other days of the week. Does it make a difference? Does it really matter? Could we not come together any day of the week and that would be fine? That would be scriptural. And so there are those who say that Jesus came out of the tomb on Saturday. Others say that he came out of the tomb on Sunday. Which is it? Can we find out? Can we know from God's Word? And does it really make any difference? Of course, we're familiar with some religions such as the Seventh-day Adventist, and that's what the SDA is on the chart. Seventh-day Adventist, of course, they worship God on Saturday. Those in Springfield, they worship over near North Crest, and you'll see them out there on Saturday. They won't be there on Sunday. And then I get a journal here at the building called The Good News. And this is dated March, April of 2014. And, of course, they knew that Easter was coming up. And so the whole issue deals with Jesus and different things about him, prophecies about Jesus and different things like that. And there was an article in here that this came maybe about a month ago, and it caught my attention, and I got to thinking that I would like to take a look at it and review it in just a little bit of a sense, but look at the Bible material. But on page 20 and 21 of this particular journal, there was an article entitled, 3 Days and Three Nights, Did Jesus Keep His Word? And the article goes on to say that we're not to worship on Sunday. We're supposed to worship on Saturday. And Jesus kept his word. He was in the tomb 3 days, literally 3 days and literally three nights. And he came out of the tomb on Saturday. And the article says that if you say anything otherwise, you're saying that Jesus didn't keep his word. Well, that caught my attention, of course. And so I read the article, wanted to look at the article, and I began to want to put some material together on that. And so this evening, I want us to look at this matter of when did Jesus raise from the grave. Now, we might think, well, is this purely something that is going on out in the denominational world and brethren really wouldn't be interested in any kind of thing like that? Well, there are a few. There have been a few among churches of Christ who are now wanting to take the Lord's Supper on Saturday evening. Their point is that that's when the Jewish day starts. And so, and we'll talk about that later in the lesson. And so if Saturday evening is actually the day when the first day of the week begins, then why wouldn't it be okay to meet Saturday evening and go ahead and take the Lord's Supper? And there have been discussions about that, and some are even doing that. So that's a little bit closer to home. And so we have to raise the question, when did Jesus come out of the tomb? On what day are we supposed to meet? And those types of things. I want to look at a couple of quotations from this article as we begin our lesson this evening. And while we're preparing for that, if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 28, we're going to look at the four accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, of the resurrection of Jesus. When did Jesus come out of the tomb, and does it really matter? The question is was it important for New Testament Christians to know what day to meet? And the answer is yes. They met on the first day of the week. That's when they came together to worship. We can certainly come together at other days of the week. We know from Acts chapter 2 and following that the early church met more than just on the first day of the week. They met daily, and so we can have gospel meetings and midweek services and those types of things. But we must meet on the first day of the week. And so it is important. It is a matter of Bible authority. But how do we go about establishing that? And so we're going to read the four parallel accounts, Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, and then John 20, if you want to have those ready. But as we look at a portion of this article, first of all, I want to notice this particular quote. Most believe that Jesus was crucified and placed in the tomb on Friday afternoon. Of course, we have in the denominational world a tradition called Good Friday, and so it's called that way. And then raised back to life on Easter Sunday. But when you compare that to what Jesus himself said, you'll find there's a major discrepancy. We know we can fit 3 days and three nights. We know that we can't fit 3 days and three nights between a Friday afternoon crucifixion and Easter Sunday. So what is the truth? When was Jesus crucified and resurrected? Here are the facts from your Bible. Jesus was actually crucified on a Wednesday and was resurrected near the end of Saturday, the weekly Sabbath. You can verify this, but it's going to take an open mind and an open Bible. Now, when I read that last statement, I thought, you know, I would like to accept that challenge. I would like to open my mind and my Bible and look at the parallel accounts and see if it actually is the case that Jesus was resurrected near the end of Saturday. And so that's what we're going to focus on this evening. Our lesson this evening is not so much going to focus on the day that he was crucified, although I'll have a little bit to say about that. Most brethren would say something along the lines of Thursday afternoon or Friday afternoon. I remember one of the first full-time works years ago, moved into an area, and a brother not long after moved there came up and had all this material that he had developed on why Jesus died and was put in the grave on Thursday afternoon. And there have been sound brethren that have argued for Thursday afternoon, for Friday afternoon. Everyone is in agreement that he was raised on Sunday. And I don't know of any brother in the church that says he's raised on Saturday. So we're not going to focus so much on the day that he was crucified and put in the tomb as we are the day when he came out of the tomb. Although there's nothing wrong, as we'll see later in the lesson, with a placement of Friday afternoon for the death and burial of Jesus. And look at this up here. We know that we can't fit 3 days and three nights between Friday afternoon and Easter Sunday. Well, if we're counting 3 days and three nights like we would want to count it with our own standard and our own conditions, then, yeah, you can't do that. You're looking at a half a day on Friday, Saturday, and a half a day on Sunday morning, 2 days at the most. And so, no, it doesn't fit. But we don't need to reckon the biblical account the way we would reckon time today. We need to reckon the biblical account the way they would reckon the account. And we'll look at that later in the lesson. But these types of things were what caught my attention. And so he's calling for an open mind and an open Bible. And I thought, you know, I'd like to open my Bible and see what is said about this particular matter. But even a little bit closer to home, sadly, many erroneously believe, so it's an error to believe, that the weekly day of worship was changed for Christians from the Saturday Sabbath to Sunday, because Jesus was resurrected on Sunday. So it's erroneous to believe this. And anytime somebody challenges me like that, well, you're in error when you're worshiping on Sunday. You know, I want to look at that. I want to examine that. But he was not, as we've seen. And the change in worship day was as more about conforming to pagan practices and Gnostic ideas. God tells us to come out of this false worship system. Honor him the way he wants to be honored, not through the traditions of man-made holidays like Easter. And I would agree with that. There's certainly no religious holiday in the scripture called Easter. But look at this. The tradition also of weekly Sunday observance. Instead, worshiping on his days, the weekly and annual Sabbaths he instituted. And so notice that this author is describing the Sunday observance, number one, as conforming to pagan practices, and it's simply a tradition. So, again, I take issue with that, and I certainly don't want to, and we don't want to, and as members of the Lord's body, we don't want to be following pagan practices, and we don't want to be following human tradition, and so we need to examine this particular matter. Do we need to worship on Saturday or on Sunday? And so this author, Steve Myers, 3 days and three nights, the Good News Magazine, just this past month, pages 16 through 18. And so I want us to take a look at that. Is the Sunday worship service the first day of the week, not the seventh day, the Sabbath, but the first day of the week, is that when brethren, the early church, came together? Or is that just simply something that was changed later in order to conform to pagan practices and tradition? Let's turn in our Bibles now with an open mind and with an open Bible, as the author challenges us to look at the biblical text. First of all, let's look at Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 1. And we want to do some reading together this evening. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 1. We'll read the first 10 verses. Now late on the Sabbath day, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, I'm reading from the American Standard Version, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. His appearance was as lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the watchers did quake and became as dead men. The angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, even as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead, and lo, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then saith Jesus unto them, fear not, go tell my brethren that they depart into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Okay, turn with me to Mark chapter 16 and verse 1. Mark chapter 16 and verse 1. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, they come to the tomb when the sun was risen. And they were saying among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the tomb? And looking up, they see that the stone is rolled back, for it was exceeding great. And entering into the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, arrayed in a white robe, and they were amazed. And he saith unto them, be not amazed, you seek Jesus the Nazarene, who hath been crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, and he said, as he said unto you. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had come upon them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now when he was risen early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and told them that had been with him, and they mourned and wept. And they, when they heard that he was alive, and had been seen of her, disbelieved. Turn with me to Luke chapter 24 and verse 1. Luke chapter 24 and verse 1. I want to begin with the last verse of chapter 23 because this is important. Of course, Joseph of Arimathea is placing Jesus in his tomb. And Luke 23 verse 55, and the women who had come with him out of Galilee followed after and beheld the tomb and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments. And on the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came unto the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, while they were perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were affrighted and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered up into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the tomb, and told all these things to the 11, and to all the rest. Now they were Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them, told these things unto the apostles. And as these words appeared in their sight as idle talk, they disbelieved them. But Peter rose and ran unto the tomb, and stooping and looking in, he seeth the linen clothes by themselves, and he departed to his home, wondering at that which was to come to pass. We're actually going to come back to this chapter at the end of the lesson and notice something else, but we'll leave it for right now. Turn with me to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. John chapter 20 and verse 1. Now on the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, while it was yet dark, unto the tomb, and seeth the stone taken away from the tomb. She runneth therefore and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we know not where they laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, most likely John, and they went toward the tomb. And they ran both together, and the other disciple outran Peter, and came first to the tomb. And stooping and looking in, he seeth the linen clothes laying there, yet entered he not in. Simon Peter therefore also cometh, following him, and entered into the tomb. And he beholdeth the linen clothes laying, and the napkin that was upon his head, not laying with the linen clothes, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then entered in therefore the other disciple also, who came first to the tomb, and he saw and believed, for as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again unto their own place. But Mary was standing without the tomb, weeping. So as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb, and she beholdeth two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. When she had thus said, she turned herself back, and behold, Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him from here, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turneth herself and saith unto him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which is to say, Teacher. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto my Father, but go unto my brethren and say to them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and my God and your God. Mary Magdalene cometh and telleth the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he had said these things unto her. When therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had said this, he showed unto them his hands and his side. The disciples therefore were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus therefore said unto them again, Peace be unto you. As the Father hath sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins ye forgive, they are forgiven unto them. Whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see the hands and the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Jesus cometh, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger and see my hands, and reach hither thy hand and put it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And so we find the first day of the week mentioned in different passages. And so this evening we want to look at this matter of when did Jesus raise from the grave. The first thing I want us to notice is, if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 21, an argument is made from our Sabbatarian friends and others that Jesus did not raise on the first day of the week. Because the text says that the women came late on the Sabbath day. And so if they came late on the Sabbath day, and Jesus is already out of the tomb, then he would have clearly had been risen on the Sabbath day. If they come late on the Sabbath, and he's already risen, then he clearly had rose on the Sabbath day. Well, the good thing about Bible study and looking at all the parallel accounts is that you may read something that appears to be one way, but when you take all the information together, you find that that is not actually the case. The version that I read from the American Standard Version actually says in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 1, Now late on the Sabbath, late on the Sabbath. Those of you who used the New American Standard Version in 1963, when the New American Standard was first published, the New Testament portion, the verse there says, Now late on the Sabbath day. Later, in the 1970s, when it was revised, and even later after that, they changed it to Now after the Sabbath. The word opse, the Greek word opse, can mean late or after. And some of the newer versions have corrected that, and even the New American Standard went ahead and changed it later because that's what matches the rest of the parallel accounts. When you look at the parallel accounts, you find that it is clearly on the first day of the week after the Sabbath is gone. And so they realize that late, the word late is misleading. And so they changed it in later versions to now after the Sabbath day. And you can find it without having to be confused about this word. Look at Mark 16 again. That's why we must always compare the parallel accounts. And when the Sabbath was past, Mark 16 and verse 1. And so the translators are trying to figure out, does it mean late or after? And some of those versions had the word late in there. But in comparing the parallel accounts, they realize that that can be misleading because clearly the Sabbath is past. So whenever we're looking at a particular Bible passage and we have some question about it, and our Sabbatarian friends bring up Matthew 28, verse 1, in the American Standard, the Old New American Standard, they say, look, the women came late on the Sabbath. So that means that Jesus had risen earlier on the Sabbath. Whenever there's a question about a particular passage, if a clearer passage can help solve that, then we must obviously go with the clearer passage. Those of you who have the King James, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, I believe it says something along the lines of, when the Sabbath had ended, or at the end of the Sabbath. Well, that can be a little ambiguous, at the end. For example, if somebody said, well, he fell down at the end of the race. Well, did he actually cross the finish line and then he fell down, or was it right before the finish line? So the word end can be a little ambiguous. The opse just means at the end, or it can mean when something is completely over with. The context is going to have to determine. And when you look at Mark 16, 1, Luke 21, it's clearly that the Sabbath is over with. In fact, turn with me to Luke chapter 24 again. Stop and think about it. What are the women doing on the Sabbath? They're wanting to rest on the Sabbath. They're not wanting to come to the tomb. They're not wanting to do any work on the Sabbath. They're going to let the Sabbath be finished. And so when the women came, it was upon the first day of the week. Look at the last part of Luke 23. They wanted to rest on the Sabbath. They're not going to the tomb on the Sabbath. They want to rest on the Sabbath. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, that's when they came. And if you look at Luke 24 And look at verse 22. Moreover, certain women of our company amazed us, having been early at the tomb. What is happening here is they're coming right early at daylight. As soon as there is daylight, they want to be there to bring those spices. And I want you to underscore in your Bibles the word early. This is very important. Our Sabbatarian friends say that the women came late on the Sabbath. The Scripture says, no, they're coming early. They're coming when the light is coming up, not when it's going down. If they were to come late on the Sabbath, that would be roughly about our 6 p.m. on Saturday. Well, the sun's going down. The text says that when they get there, it's early and that the sun is rising. So this is going to be 6 a.m. on Sunday. In fact, if you can Google today, when is the sunrise in Jerusalem at this time of the year? And for today, it was 6:05 a.m. At this time of the year in Jerusalem, the sun comes up around 6 o'clock a.m. Today, it was 6:05 a.m. They're getting there when it's early and the sun is about to come up. They're not getting there late on the Sabbath, but what about Matthew 28, verse 1? The better word there is after. They're getting there after the Sabbath. And that's, of course, the New American Standard. The later versions have corrected that. But even if we had some question, the clearer passages always explain those that are more challenging to look at. In John chapter 20 and verse 1, now on the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene. Look at it. While it was yet dark. Now this is interesting. While it was yet dark. The other versions say they came early. Okay, they came early. But now, while it is yet dark, what is happening is they're coming. They set out toward the tomb. It's yet dark. And when they get there, it's early and the sun is rising. I don't know exactly when they left. We're not told. But it's at that period where there's darkness for a little bit. And then here comes the light. 5 a.m., 6 a.m., long in there. Still dark. But then here comes the light. That's when they're getting to the tomb. When they start out, it's yet dark. They're coming. And then when they get there, it's early on the first day of the week. And so that's the first thing that we need to address. Now, Jesus did not rise late on the Sabbath because the women are getting there late on the Sabbath. And so he rose late on the Sabbath. No, we've already discussed that they are there early on the first day of the week, not late on the seventh day of the week. But here, notice this. Turn with me to Mark 16:9. This is another matter that will come up. If there's not a clear passage, I don't know what one would be. Look at Mark 16 and verse 9. When did Jesus come out of the tomb? When did Jesus rise? Did he rise on Saturday or did he rise on the first day of the week? What does Mark 16:9 say? Now, when he was risen early on the first day of the week, he appeared to Mary. Doesn't that pretty much settle it? That's just a clear passage. Now, when he was risen early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. That lets us know. Mark 16:9 settles it. However, I want to mention this because you'll have to be prepared for it. Some of your friends may bring this point up. They may want to shift the comma. Look at your Bible and shift the comma a little bit. Now, when he was risen, comma. Early on the first day of the week, he appeared to Mary Magdalene. You see that? Now, when he was risen, comma. Early on the first day of the week, he appeared to Mary Magdalene. So their point is, what was done on the first day of the week was the appearing to the women. So he rose late on the Sabbath, but he only appeared to the women early on the first day of the week. So that comma makes a big difference, doesn't it? Now, the problem with that is, literally, the text says, now having risen early, first of the week, and then appeared, so forth. The early modifies risen. Now, if you want to get into some of the details, you look at all the commentators and what people are saying about the Greek and all that kind of thing. Early can technically modify appeared. But the closest verb that is there is risen. And that's why in the majority of our translations, now he was risen early on the first day of the week, comma. He appeared unto Mary Magdalene. But without arguing over a comma, look at this. Look at verse 9. When he was risen, When he was risen early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. Back up to verse 16. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early, look at it, early, verse 2, early, verse 9, very early on the first day of the week, they come to the tomb when the sun was risen. John says, while it was yet dark. Mark says, while it was rising. And so it's right in that period there where there's darkness and light. That's the critical window right there. And when they get there, it's early. Mark is simply telling us what is happening early on the first day of the week. Number one, Jesus is rising early on the first day of the week. And number two, the women are coming to the tomb early on the first day of the week. He's telling us what is happening early on the first day of the week. Verse 9, Jesus is coming out of the tomb. Verse 2, the women are coming there and they find him gone. So, we're not told exactly when, but early on the first day of the week, verse 9, he comes out of the tomb. Most likely just right before the women get there, and there's this earthquake, the tomb is opened, he comes out of the tomb, he's gone, the napkins are laid there, and we know from John's account that he's right there. Mary thought he was the gardener. He's right there. So he comes out early, they come early, and of course, eventually they have that conversation there after she has the conversation with the angels and that type of thing. She actually speaks to Jesus, who is still there in the garden tomb area. So somebody says, well, I like the comma down there and I like the comma up there. Just simply remind them that Mark is telling us what is happening early on the first day of the week. Both of these things, Jesus coming out and the women appearing there. But turn with me to Luke chapter 24 in just a moment. We want to look at Luke chapter 24. And as we're turning to Luke 24, let's summarize some things. The four accounts that we have read are all parallel accounts. They're all speaking of the same thing. And so clear passages let us know that it is early on the first day of the week, Mark 16:9. And the women are coming there. They're not coming late on the Sabbath. Jesus is not rising. It doesn't say late on the seventh day of the week. No, it's early on the first day of the week. And so Sunday is that day. The second thing that we learn is, first of all, they're all parallel accounts. Secondly, when the women came to the tomb, it was early. Now, get the argument from our Sabbath friends. Our Sabbath friends say that when Jesus came out of the tomb, it was late on the Sabbath day. That would be what would be comparable to our 5 p.m., 6 p.m. on Saturday afternoon. Well, when the women show up, the sun would be going down. And yet the text says that it's early dawn. The sun is coming up, you see. And so, yes, there was a time there when they were coming. It was yet dark. But when they got there, the sun was risen, the text says. That's extremely important. So it's not late on the Sabbath, it's actually early on the first day of the week when the sun is coming up. And of course, as I mentioned earlier, at this time of the year in Jerusalem, it's roughly 6:05 a.m. or so, at least it was today. The third important truth is that the women came to prepare the body for burial. This was, keep in mind when you read the text, that when Joseph of Arimathea went and placed the body in the tomb, that was not meant to be the permanent way that that was done. There was a Sabbath coming, and they couldn't get all of that ready. And so that was a temporary thing, and then the women were going to come back after the Sabbath was over to prepare it for the long term. What was done immediately by Joseph of Arimathea, talking about the body with spices and so forth, that was for the immediate thing. The women wanted to come back and do some more on that, because the Sabbath was just right there. If you look at a crucifixion of Friday afternoon, and there's nothing wrong with that evidence, all that evidence is fine. If Jesus is taken down off the cross roughly around 3 p.m., at 6 p.m. the Sabbath starts. You've only got 3 hours. You can't do a whole lot. And so Joseph took him down from the cross and laid him in the tomb. There's just a few hours there. Then everybody backs off and rests on the Sabbath day. And at early on the first day of the week, the women come back. Do you remember the last verse there of Luke 23? They wanted to rest on the Sabbath according to the commandment. We're not going to go over there on the Sabbath. And then early on the first day of the week, we're going to come and prepare the body for burial. And I believe that this is extremely important because if you have the women coming and doing all of this late on the Sabbath, they're not resting on the Sabbath. They're out getting all their stuff ready for Jesus. The text says they're resting on the Sabbath. So they are not coming late on the Sabbath. They're not coming at all on the Sabbath. It's over. It's over. As it began to dawn early on toward the first day of the week. They let it be over with, and then they come. That's very important. Our Sabbatarian friends basically have the women working late on the Sabbath to scramble around and do those types of things when the text says they were resting on the Sabbath. Now, turn with me to Luke chapter 24. This is even the most clear evidence that I know of that Jesus came out of the tomb on the first day of the week. Sunday, the first day of the week. Sunday, the first day of the week, is not based upon a pagan tradition. It's not based upon human tradition, as the article said. It's based upon biblical evidence. We worship on the first day of the week, not because of some pagan tradition in the second or third or fourth century, but because of the divine word that we follow. Now, we've already read the first 12 verses. Let's go back and summarize. Look at verse 1. But on the first day of the week, and if you make notes in your Bible or making notes, you'll want to draw some lines between some verses here. In verse 1, on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came unto the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared. What day is this? Chapter 24, 1 through 35. What day is this? Upon the first day of the week. Okay. Now, when they begin to speak with the angels begin to speak with them. Notice in verse 7, they remind the women, the Son of Man must be delivered up into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Whenever Jesus rises, it's the third day. Whenever it is, it's the third day. Okay. That's what Jesus said. Now, do you remember in verse 7? And they remembered his words and so forth. The Son of Man must be delivered up. When did Jesus say that? Do you remember? There were several times. Matthew 16, 21. Turn back with me there. Matthew, just hold your hand there. Come back with me to Matthew 16, verse 21. Several places we find where Jesus said that he was going to go to Jerusalem and suffer persecution at the hands of the leaders and be killed and the third day rise up. Here's one of several examples. Matthew 16, 21. From that time, Jesus began to show unto his disciples that he must go into Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and the third day be raised up. So he had promised that, okay? And there are several other examples of that. Now, come down with me to verse 13. After the incident of the women at the tomb and the angels and so forth, look at verse 13. And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus. Oh! Underscore that in your Bible. Verse 13, that very day. What day? Verse 1, the first day of the week. Okay, so verse 1, it's on the first day of the week. Verse 13, that very day, the first day of the week, these two are going on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus meets up with them. Let's read it. And behold, two of them were going, what you want to underscore is that very day. Some versions say the same day. What day? Verse 1, the first day of the week. To a village named Emmaus, which was 80 furlongs from Jerusalem. And they communed with each other and all these things that had happened. And it came to pass, while they were communing and questioning together, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what communications are these that you have one with another as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. And one of them, named Clopas, answered and said, dost thou alone sojourn in Jerusalem and not know the things which are come to pass in these days? And he said unto him, what things? I love that. Jesus asks a rhetorical question. He knows. He knows everything that's going on. He wants them to express what has gone on. He wants them to talk about these things. Of course, it becomes faith building for them. But, okay, tell me, what things are you talking about? And they said unto him, the things concerning Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we hope that it was he who should redeem Israel. Yea, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things came to pass. You underscore that in your Bible. The first day of the week, verse 1, is the third day. The first day of the week is the third day. That nails it down. Well, why is that so important? Because verse 7, it's on the third day that Jesus would rise again. Well, what is the third day? It's the first day of the week. It's the first day of the week, verse 13, the same day, the first day of the week. And when these men talk about the death of Jesus, verse 22, it's the third day since this has happened. Well, what did Jesus say would happen on the third day? That's when I'm going to rise again. Jesus rose on the third day. The first day of the week is the third day. Jesus rose on the first day of the week. And so we would put it this way. Jesus promised to rise on the third day. The first day of the week was the third day. Therefore, Jesus was raised on the first day of the week, or Sunday. It can't be any clearer than that. And so what the admission of these two men is extremely important. It is the third day since these things have happened. What things? Just a few verses earlier. Of course, the trial, the arrest, the crucifixion of Jesus there. Jesus promised to rise on the third day. The first day of the week is the third day. So, Jesus rose on the first day of the week. Now, let's look at a few things and then we'll close this evening. What about this matter of, well, you can't get it all in. You can't get 3 days and three nights in between Friday afternoon and Sunday. Well, first of all, I want us to notice a few things. And we're going to go through this rather quickly. And if you want the notes later, you're certainly welcome to. The first thing that we need to understand is that the language that Jesus used was very flexible. He's not talking about a literal three periods of daylight, a literal three periods of nighttime. He's using an expression that can mean one of these things. 3 days and three nights can mean just simply 3 days, or after 3 days, or the third day. The language is flexible enough because our Sabbatarian friends and others say, well, you have to have exactly 72 hours. You have to have a full 72 hours. Well, if you had a full 72 hours, then after that would be the fourth day. So it's flexible in that the Jews talked about any part of a day as being 3 days and three nights. And so the first thing we need to understand is that any of these expressions are all synonymous. They all mean the same thing. And the men say that this is the third day. But even more so, look at this. Turn with me to Acts chapter 10. If you have a Friday afternoon crucifixion, and the lesson really this evening is not about that versus a Thursday afternoon. I mentioned earlier, I have material by faithful preachers and Bible students who one argue for a Thursday afternoon, others argue for a Friday afternoon. All of them are in agreement that Jesus came out of the tomb on Sunday. But some are trying to work with this 3 days and three nights and how far do we back it up and that kind of thing. Assuming a Friday afternoon, and I believe the evidence is good for that. It was the text says that it was the day before the Sabbath when he was crucified and that type of thing. Friday afternoon would be fine with all of that. The article said you can't get all that time in Friday afternoon to Sunday morning. Well, if you count time the way somebody wants us to count time, no, you can't. But the Jews counted any part of a day as a day. And so part of Friday afternoon, Saturday and part of Sunday morning would equal 3 days or the third day. It corresponds to the way that Jews at that time reckoned a day. And a good Bible example of this, somebody says, well, what y'all do is you take this right here and you cram it in to Friday afternoon to Sunday morning. You take an expression and then you cram it in. No, we're actually taking an expression and using it the way the Bible uses it. Acts 10 is a great example. Turn with me to Acts 10. Do you remember the story of how that Peter was given a vision to meet Cornelius and go preach with him. Quickly, look at verse 3. Acts chapter 10 and verse 3. When Cornelius was praying, look at verse 3. He saw a vision about the ninth hour of the day. The Jews started their day at 6 a.m., so the ninth hour would roughly be around 3 p.m. Okay, so he has this vision. Okay, he sends his servants to go meet Peter. Look at verse 9. It says, on the morrow they went to meet Peter, and they found him about noon, or about the sixth hour. After they give the instructions to Peter, our master has sent us to, you need to come and come to him. He's seen in a vision how you need to come and so forth. Look at verse 23. Peter and these servants on the morrow, go to meet Cornelius. But look at verse 24. It took them a whole day after that. On the morrow after that, they finally come and meet with Cornelius. And when Cornelius is telling them, look at verse 30. Cornelius said, 4 days ago until this hour, I was keeping the ninth hour of prayer. So at the same time, now we're back to 3 p.m., 4 days ago. Is it literally four 24-hour periods? No, it's not. If you go four 24-hour periods, you get 24, 24, 24. You actually just get three 24-hour days. But he said 4 days ago. It's because Jews and Romans, but Cornelius is a Roman, they just count part of a day. So part of this day, part of this day, part of this day, and part of this day is 4 days. This idea of on the third day, it has to be three full 24-hour periods, that's just not what we find in the biblical text. And so it does, in fact, work. Now, the Sabbath day was simply for the Jews. By way of quick reminder, it was for Israel. It's not for all people. It was to be observed by Israel to remember their deliverance from Egypt. When the old law passed away, the old Sabbath observance passed with it. The writer says he taketh away the first covenant, the first will. He's established the second. We're not under that old law. It was for Israel. It was for a particular people. It was for a particular observance. It was for a particular time, and that has passed away. The Sabbath, Paul says, let no man judge you according to a Sabbath. That is not bound on Christians today. What is it? Well, the first day of the week. And as we close this evening, we're just simply reminded that that is the day that Jesus came out of the grave. Early, Matthew 16, 9, early on the first day of the week, Jesus rose up. It's not that difficult. And that's when he first met with his disciples later that day. And what's interesting is that in John 20, about verse 19 or so, it was late in the day. That would be around right now. Because for the Jew, Monday is about to begin. Well, it just began 5 minutes ago, 6 p.m. But what would be our 5 p.m. when we come together? That's about the time that Jesus is meeting real late with those disciples. And they're inside. They've shut the door. So there's a meeting late on the first day of the week. But the Lord's church was established on the day of Pentecost, which was on a Sunday. It was on a Sunday, the Sunday after seven Sabbaths. And on the first day of the week, the disciples met together to break bread. And on the first day of the week, they took up a collection. This is the day that we come together to worship God. It's not a human tradition. It's not based upon some pagan thing. It's based upon the Word of God. And we must always follow the Word of God. I want to close with one thing that I saw in the news Friday, and then the lesson will be yours. This matter of turning to the Bible. Well, Chris, why do you have to do all that? You know, you go through all of that and all those verses and all of this and all of that. Why does it really matter? It matters because we need to do Bible things in Bible ways. In contrast to that, Friday afternoon, I was just caught a glimpse of Channel 5 News. There was a Lutheran preacher in Nashville, and they were out there with him. They were offering communion to people passing by. And he said, you know, we've got to think outside the box. People are not coming to the church. We've got to take the church to them. And he said, we've got to think outside the box, which really means we've got to think outside the Bible. But we got to think outside the box. And they showed him passing out communion and different things. Just within a 30-second news story, I saw four things that were outside the box. First of all, they were offering the Lord's Supper on Friday. Acts 20 and 7 says that it's upon the first day of the week. Secondly, they were offering it out on the street. They were showing him talking with people, and a car would drive up and he would put it through the door. In 1 Corinthians 11, it says, when you come together, it's in the assembly. Okay, so number one, they've got the wrong day. Number two, they've got the wrong, there is no assembly, it's just out on the street. Number three, and I'll give him this, I'm saying this is a possibility, I don't know this for a fact, but based upon what I saw, there was a big old loaf of bread. It was nice and tall, and I don't know of any unleavened bread that tall. So it was the days of unleavened bread, so the bread would have been unleavened in the Lord's Supper, and he's got this big old thing. And then fourth, it's being offered to just anybody that comes by. When in the New Testament, it was for disciples. It was for members of the church. There was no what has been called open communion. Just anybody and everybody. An atheist could drive up and take it for that matter. And they wouldn't be bothered by that, I guess. But he said, we've got to think outside the box. We've got to take the church to them because they're not going to come to us. No, we need to think inside the box. And the box being New Testament authority. And that's why these things are important. And so when brethren are wanting to do the Lord's Supper on what would be our Saturday evening, there's no biblical authority for that. And the Sunday worship is authorized, not the Saturday worship. And so it's not just a squabble between religions and things like that. It's a matter of following what the New Testament Christians did. And when Paul waited 7 days, he wanted to follow the Bible authority to meet upon the first day of the week. And that's why we do that as well. There may be here someone here this evening that needs to take this opportunity to respond to the gospel. There may be someone who knows what they need to do and needs to take this time to do it. The water's ready. The garments are ready. There may be someone here this evening that needs to come back in some way that needs to, the prayers of the saints. We're certainly here to help you for that. But I wanted our faith to be strengthened by looking at the biblical text on when did Jesus come out of the grave. It's not guesswork. The first day of the week was the third day, and Jesus came out on the third day. He came out on the first day of the week, and that's why we worship the Lord on Sunday. And not just once a year, not just now and then, but every first day of the week. It does matter. It is important to follow those things, do Bible things in Bible ways. If we can assist you, if we can help you in any way, why won't you come as we stand and sing?